All right, go ahead and turn over to the book of 1 John, if you will. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 12 today. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. One of the things that I do typically whenever I am in charge of a trivia night, I love doing the trivia nights. And we always do pop culture. We always do usually stuff about music and some history and stuff like that. And, you know, to reminisce. And one of the things about when you do stuff like that and you use music from years past, it kind of brings back some memories. And it's fun to reminisce about times when we were younger and things like that. Well, with that being said, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Does anybody know who B.J. Thomas is? Yeah, I've got some people shaking now. I think we got a picture there, Dennis, of Mr. Thomas. There he is. Yeah, in all of his glory with the 70s style suit, leisure suit. He's somewhat a famous songwriter. A singer that was primarily really popular in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And it's like, well, I may have heard of B.J. Thomas, but I guarantee you've heard some of the songs that he has written, okay? I've got a few of them here for you. Number one, 1968, he wrote Hooked on a Feeling. Remember that? Now listen, he wrote the original Hooked on a Feeling. There was a group, I think Blue Suede, that released it in 1974 as a cover song, and that's they got that Native American chant at the beginning of the song, okay? But B.J. Thomas wrote the original Hooked on a Feeling in 1968. Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. He wrote that in 1969. Another one, 1975, Hey, Won't You Play Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong Song. Y'all heard that before? Okay, some of you are humming it right now. It's in your head. And then from the 80s, a show that was really popular when I was in high school, Growing Pains. He wrote the theme song, As Long As We Have Each Other, the Growing Pains theme song. And so he's got some songs that are, you know, that we know about, and he's a great singer. But one of the songs that you may not have ever heard of is a song called Love Has Arrived. It was written in 1979, and I actually had not known about this song, and when I looked into the words and the lyrics, it kind of reminded me of the passage that I'm going to read today. And the lyrics go like this. I think we got them up there. Down the darkened hallway of a lonely heart, here comes the footsteps of a friend. Through all the hopeless tears of eyes grown cold and hard, here comes the chance to smile again. Along the wandering path of a reckless man, here comes a steadfast guiding light. And to the emptiness of a loveless soul, here comes love into my life. And then the chorus, love has arrived. Lord, here you are. Love has arrived. Welcome to my heart. Now, I don't know if B.J. Thomas was a Christian, but that is the gospel right there in that song. And this song illustrates what happens when love arrives and intervenes in the life of a person. For us, as Christians, as followers of Christ, God's love obviously has arrived to us through His Son Jesus at Christmas time, and we celebrate that love today. And the arrival of God's love has some wonderful promises and some very important things to remember. And so our passage this morning talks about that. Let's take a look. Let's read it together. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So there's some very important things in this passage as we think about the arrival of God's love through Jesus Christ. The first thing that we see here in verses 7 and 8, number one in our outline, God's love is a model in how to love others. God's love, the arrival of God's love, is a model in how to love other people. John says, who is love from? He said, love is from God. He says it very plainly there. And so we need to understand that God's very essence, the thing that God just dwells in, is love. He is the source of love. And obviously, the biggest way that God demonstrated his love was by sending Jesus into the world. And we think about that. That kind of love, God sending Jesus into the world, that kind of love that's been demonstrated for us is not something that comes naturally for us, okay? It's not something that it just is born inside of us. We aren't born with this kind of love, but we receive God's love through the Holy Spirit because we've been born of God. This kind of love is not gained through knowledge. It's not gained by any heritage that we have. It's not passed on through osmosis, through our parents or grandparents. It's not something that's inherited. It comes as a gift from God, and that gift being Jesus Christ. And this love that we have received from God helps us to learn about him, right? And John says, if we have love, we've been born of God, and we know God. The Greek tense that's used there in the language there that John wrote, that Greek word tense that's used describes it's an ongoing knowledge. It's not just a one-time thing that we've received at a certain time and then that's it. It's an ongoing knowledge. It's continual. It's growing in this knowledge of God based upon our experience with him. And because we've received this love, we in return know how to love others. And that's through the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to love other people. Now, the flip side of that, if we don't love others, it shows that we really don't know God at all. If we have an attitude where we don't love other people, it shows that we don't really belong to God. Because if we really knew God, if we really knew and understood his love, we would be compelled to love the way that he does. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know what the opposite of real love is? Selfishness, right? The opposite of real love is selfishness. Real love is holy, it's just, it's perfect, like God. And those who truly know God will love as he does, but those who don't know God, they're going to primarily display selfishness in their lives. That's what's going to come out because that's what's truly in their heart. And so the question for us this morning as we think about God being love and helping us to love other people, how well do we display our love for God and others in the choices that we make in life and the actions that we take in life? How is that love put on display to other people? Because I'm going to say something, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again right now. How we treat others, how we love other people, how we love people in the world today, how we treat other people, is a very good indication of where we are spiritually. And if you are constantly at odds with people and gruff and crabby and argumentative, and this is what's coming out all the time, that's a good indication of where your heart is. And that is not what is instilled inside of us. We've been born of God, and if we know God, then we're going to know his love, and that love is going to be compelled to come out and love other people, even people that are difficult to love. And we all have people in our lives that are difficult to love. Could be people in our own households, okay? People that we work with, people that we go to school with. But God's love will help us to love them. And so how well do we display our love for God and others in the choices and actions that we take? So that's number one. God's love is a model on how to treat others. Number two, verses 9 and 10. Another thing about God's love. God's love is the proof that we have been forgiven of our sins. God's love is the proof that we have been forgiven of our sins. This verse declares the same wonderful truths of the verse that we know very well, that most of the world knows, John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. As we've said before, that's the gospel in a nutshell. If you have just 1 minute or a second to share the gospel with somebody, share with them John 3:16. Because that's the gospel in a nutshell. And it's the great proof that God is love and that he sent his Son so that we might have forgiveness of sins. And of all the kinds of love that are mentioned in the New Testament, and there's several, when you see the word love, it could be a different Greek word for different kinds of love. There's eros, which is the sexual type love. There's storge, which is the family devotion. There's philos, which is the friendship or brotherly love. And then there's agape, which is the love without conditions. And agape love is the truest sense of love. It's the love that describes God, right? This agape love, the love not based on condition. And agape love was a term that was used by John here in this passage. Agape love speaks of compassion. It speaks of kindness. It speaks of unselfishness. It's agape love that motivated God to send his Son to die for an undeserving sinner like you and me. And I want to emphasize that word undeserving for just a minute. Now, some of you that are older and maybe even younger who have heard this hymn before, remember the old hymn written by Isaac Watts. Remember that song, At the Cross? At the cross where I first saw the light. In later years, the words were changed. You may not have known this. The words were changed to make the message less offensive, if you will. So the first verse was changed to this. And that's the one that I think is even in our hymnal. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? For he would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? That's the less offensive version. But do you know how the song was originally written? It was written like this. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? That's the King James version of that hymn, okay? That's the old version. And I personally think that's a little more appropriate. Because you think about, before we came to know Christ, we were worms wallowing around in our sin like a worm wallows in the dirt. We amounted to nothing until Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Amen? It's because of Jesus that we can sing the other verses and chorus of that song. Thy body slain, sweet Jesus thine, and bathed in its own blood, while the firm mark of wrath divine, his soul in anguish stood. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day because of the cross of Jesus. Undeserving people like you and me, God's love is the proof that he loves us and that he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us. And then the third thing that I want to mention from our scripture this morning, verses 11 and 12, kind of changing it a little bit. We went from God's love, now we're going to move to our love. And we've talked about it a little bit, we're going to get into a little bit more. Number three, our love for others is the proof that God's love is real. Our love for others is the proof that God's love is real. God's example of love should be our motivator, should be our model for us to love other people. Because we've been born of God, okay, and I think we're all pretty much blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ here this morning. Because we've been born of God, we should resemble our Father who is love. The way that God loves people, which is what? Sacrificially and unselfishly and completely. That provides our example. That's our example in how to love other people. And so when we love each other, what does it do? It shows the world outside the walls of this building a very vivid picture of God's love. Look at verse 12 again. Let's read it together again. What does John say there? He said, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us." Several years ago, and I don't even know if Abby remembers this, several years ago I had a conversation with Abby, and I was beginning to have some doubts. You know, we probably all feel this way sometimes in ministry. You give and give and give and model and model and model. And I was having a conversation. I was beginning to doubt if loving people and helping others really makes a difference in pointing them to Christ, because it just seems like nothing was going on in my life at that time. And listen, we see a lot of bad things happening in the world today, a lot of hurt in the world, a lot of brokenness, and it seems like it's getting harder and harder to reach others for Christ. And I was having this conversation, kind of having a pity party, if you will, and Abby said, "Dad, that's what we're supposed to do, to love other people. That's our job." And then she said, "Don't you remember the story of the sheep and the goats?" "Yeah, I remember. Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" I needed to be reminded of that day. And when you read 1 John 4:12, things become very clear. When we love each other, guys, when we love each other and the things that we do for each other in our community, the Bible says God's love is perfected in us and then revealed to the world outside. Remember, that's what Jesus told his disciples would happen. He said, "Listen, guys, I'm going to lay a new commandment on you. Love one another. By this, the world will know that you belong to me if you love one another." And John just reinforced it right here. When we love each other, God is perfected. His love is perfected in us and then revealed to others in the world. And the apostles and many of the other early Christians, they had the privilege of seeing God in human form of Jesus Christ. They had the opportunity to physically see him. But obviously, Jesus is not here physically anymore, in a physical form anymore. But through the Holy Spirit, God lives in Christians. And Jesus can't be seen physically, but yet he can be seen through us and our love for others as we serve other people. Because we are the body of Christ, right? We're his hands and his feet. We're his voice. So the way that the world is going to see God today and his love is through you and me, as we love others, as we love our community. Even though it's getting more difficult, even though we may not ever see any results this side of heaven, God, our people are being pointed to God through our love for other people. He becomes visible to the world around us when we love each other the way that we're supposed to. So the question this morning for all of us today and those who are watching online is, has God's love arrived in your life? Is his love inside of you? Has there been a point in your life where you've given yourself over to him and said, "Today I'm going to make you my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to set my agenda aside and I'm going to follow you for the rest of eternity because I want to follow you and I want to follow your plan for my life." And when that happens, the love of God comes to live inside of us and changes us. We become, as Paul says, a new creation. We become somebody totally different because God's love has entered inside our lives. And so has God's love arrived in your life? God has a purpose for you. When we deviate from his purpose, it leads to brokenness and sin. That's why we need the gospel. The gospel is very simple. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He, at the appointed time, he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He died. But the third day he rose again victoriously over sin and death and hell. And he ascended to the Father and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And one day he will return for his glorious bride, his church. But until that day comes, we have a job to do, and that is to share the gospel with people who need to hear. But maybe today that's you. Maybe you need the gospel in your life. And I would ask you today to make that step, to ask Jesus to come into your heart and life, to be your Lord and Savior, so that you can receive forgiveness of sin and spend eternity with Him forever. Has the love of God arrived in your life? Beyond that, maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe it's to join this church, to invest your life here in this local body of believers, to be involved in the ministry in this community. Maybe it's to surrender to ministry or missions. Maybe it's to follow up in believers' baptism. Say, well, Pastor, I know I'm a Christian, but I've never been baptized. We've got some baptisms coming up soon, some children that have made decisions for Christ, and we're excited about that. What about you? Maybe you need to follow up in believers' baptism to show the world once and for all, I'm a follower of Christ, and I publicly profess that before this congregation and the world that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's what baptism is all about. And so maybe those are decisions that you need to make today. If you do, we want to hear about it. We want to know what's going on. So fill out that Connect card for us and drop it in the offering box on the way out so that we can help you get to that next point in your life. But I'm going to pray, and then Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And that's when we want to let God do business in our heart, all right? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the message of this scripture, 1 John chapter 4. Love has arrived in our lives and is a model for us and helps us to know how we're to love other people. And it's a proof that you love us. Father, all those things are very clear to us. And right now, I pray that you would work among us as only you can. Let your Holy Spirit work among us right now, Lord. I pray that many would make the decisions that you are laying upon their heart now, that they would take that step to make that decision for you, for your glory and honor. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you loved us first. Father, we just commit this time to you now. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray, amen.